Lord, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you that you are good all the time. We thank you that you are approachable. We thank you that you're not far off, and we thank you that your grace is enough to peel back those layers, to remove those things of life that have been trapping us, that have been enslaving us, that have been causing pain in our lives, and that your grace peels those back and brings us to that place of wholeness, of holiness, of joy in your presence. And so we turn to your word this morning, and we say, keep peeling, Lord, and have your way with us. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this morning, we're going to continue our sermon series titled Assurance, That You May Know. This is our study through the book of 1 John. Last week, we came alive in the assurance of Jesus, that Jesus is eternal. Jesus put on flesh. Jesus restores our fellowship with God and with the family of God. And finally, Jesus brings joy. Last week's message concluded with the assurance of Jesus' return. Jesus is coming back. And within this assurance of Jesus, we also have another assurance, and that's the assurance of holiness, the assurance that we will change, that we will be sanctified, that we will be made like Christ, that we will live in victory over sin. And so that's the title of today's message, the assurance of holiness. And with that, let's turn back to 1 John chapter 1, continuing in verse 5. God's word says this: this is the message we have heard from him. John is telling us once again that this is what Jesus taught his disciples. This same message right here. This is the message that we heard from Jesus. And we declare to you now, the church. The message is God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. What we're finding in this passage of Scripture is that an encounter with Jesus will not leave us the same. We won't be the same after coming into relationship with Christ. When Jesus enters our lives, things change, and that's good news. That's really good news. And so I want us to approach what God is saying to us in this passage of Scripture with the understanding that this is good news from God for us, his children. Just as when light enters a room, darkness flees. I want to ask you, Dan, to do something for me. Can you turn the lights out? Just turn those lights out in the room. Okay, they're almost all out. We have darkness. But now turn the lights back on. Hit the light switch. What happens? When light comes into a room, darkness leaves. It flees. It's no longer there. And what happens? We can see clearly. We can see. We can see. And it's this way with us. When Jesus, the light, enters our lives, the darkness of sin is exposed. It's rendered powerless. And it is forced to leave. It's forced out of our lives when the light of Christ comes into our lives and we begin to see clearly and we begin to live clearly. Live holy. Live freely. We have this assurance that an encounter with Jesus will change us. And this assurance of holiness that John is presenting in this first chapter of this letter. This assurance of holiness has us doing some incredible things. And the first thing is this, it has us walking in a new dimension. So let me say this again. The assurance of holiness has us walking in a new dimension. It's the dimension of light that John is talking about here in his letter. It's the dimension of heaven, the dimension of God's kingdom, the dimension of victory. This is the dimension of Jesus, the dimension that Jesus walked in and continues to walk in. So let's again look at this in Scripture. Verse 5. God is light, and in Him is no darkness. God is light, and in Him there's no darkness. With this statement of truth, John is reminding us that Jesus is other than, that He's holy, that He is walking in a completely different dimension, that He is perfect in every way, that He's not of this world, that He is without sin. There's no darkness in Him, never has been, never will be. This is the Jesus dimension. God is light. In Him, there is no darkness. So Jesus walks, He lives, He moves, He exists in the dimension of light. And this light is the holiness of God. And here's where the news keeps getting better. For us, the people of God, the church, His children. God hasn't reserved the dimension of holiness, this dimension of light, for Himself. See, God is calling us, His children, to join Him in this dimension of light and to be holy. He's inviting us to walk with Him in this dimension, His dimension that's reserved for Him. He's saying, come walk with me in this dimension. Live with me in this dimension. That's good news. That's incredible. I mean, God is holy. And He's saying, come walk with me in this dimension. I want to go to 1 Peter. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. Peter says it this way, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. That's when you lived apart from Christ. Because apart from Christ, there's no truth. We can't understand it. We can't live in it. So don't conform to that any longer. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, and this is stating Leviticus chapter 20, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. So again, God in His word, through the writings of John and through Peter, is inviting us to embrace this new dimension of living that is now possible because of the work of His Son, Jesus. Again, God is inviting us to walk with Him in this new dimension of light and of holiness. And we got to remember that contrary to the belief of many, this dimension of holiness, this call to holiness is not a punishment. It's not, but that's what so many people believe. They think, oh, God's calling me to holiness. This is such a bummer. This is a burden. But it's not a burden. The call to holiness, the invitation to walk in the light is not a burden. It's not a punishment. Rather, it's a blessing from God. It's a gift. It is salvation. It is freedom. It is Christ, and it is good. The call to holiness is God deciding to pour out His power, His grace on His church. It's God deciding to pour out His power on you and on me, His children, in order that we might no longer be slaves to sin. And that's good news. It's no fun being wrapped up and controlled by sin. And Christ says, come walk with me in the dimension of light. Because I've given you all you need to do that. So we don't have to be slaves to sin. No longer recipients of sin's pain and the torment of sin. That's not what God wants for us, His children. So He said, come walk with me in the light. As his children, we get to experience new life, full life, whole life. All that results from walking with Jesus, it's ours. It's our inheritance that he has given to us right now. And he's saying, come, take hold of this gift of holiness. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Put it on. Put it on. Life to the full, pleasures forevermore. That's found in walking in the new dimension of light and of holiness with Christ. That's where we find our pleasures forevermore. No longer beggars, no longer defeated, but victorious. We find the victory walking in the light with Christ. No longer depressed, but filled with hope and joy. And so the Holy Spirit has the Apostle John reminding us, the church, of this reality. And I'm sure there are many of us in the room right now today that need to be reminded that God has called you to walk with him in this dimension of light, in this dimension of holiness. What a blessing. What a blessing. So the assurance of holiness, it has us walking in a new dimension, but it also has us walking in a new purity. Back to verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he, as Jesus, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. We're walking in a new purity. It reminds me of this song. Let's play this song. I just got to get my groove on a little bit before I continue. Because you are in the light. With DC Talk, early Sunday morning. All I want is to be in the light. All I want is to be in the light. One of my favorite songs. I love that song. Whenever it comes on the radio, it's like I almost have to pull over because I get so into it. And it has an amazing bass line in it too. You know, I'm a bass player. Anyway, so if we walk in the light, if we walk in the holiness of God as Jesus walks in holiness, then Jesus, if we walk in the light, then Jesus, if then, look at it, it's in Scripture. If we walk in the light as Jesus is in the light, then Jesus purifies us from all sin. Who purifies us? Do we purify? Okay, thank you. We don't do it ourselves, right? Jesus pure. I love 9 o'clock service. You all are like awake so much more than the 11 o'clock service. Come on. You're on it. Look at that. Jesus purifies us. He can do it. We can't do it ourselves. We can't walk in the light ourselves. We can't peel back the onion of sin from our lives and walk in freedom on our own. But Jesus can do it for us. So he says, come be in the light as I am in the light. Come follow me in these things. And when you do, I will purify you from all sin, all unrighteousness. Jesus does it, and he will do it, and he does do it because we're walking with him. We're living in his dimension. We are embracing his grace. Oh, God is good. Hey, have you all heard of the word entitlement? That term entitlement. People wanting something but not being willing to show up and put in the hard work to really get it. They just want it because they just want it. They think that they deserve it. And entitlement's pretty rampant in America today. And entitlement, I'm going to say this, entitlement is in the church. It's in a lot of doctrine also. So now hear me out on this. Just listen. I want to talk about Benjamin Franklin a little bit first. Benjamin Franklin stated that people are endowed by their creator with rights such as life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. He didn't have free handouts in mind when he said that, though. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You notice that word pursuit in there. That pursuit of happiness. Pursuing it. All people are given equal opportunity. They're given equal freedom in this nation to pursue rights and to obtain them by virtue of hard work and commitment and dedication by going after it, by pursuing it. And many Christians fall into an entitlement mentality. They want the blessings of Christ. They want the fruit of salvation, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of a life walked in and with Christ, but they don't want to pursue Him. They don't want to walk with Him. They don't want to go where Jesus goes. They don't want to do what Jesus does. They don't want to love like Jesus loves. They don't want to live like Him. They just want what He has. They just want Him. They want what He has. They want the blessings, but they don't really want to go with Him to those places where the blessings are poured out. You know, it's like there's a fountain of blessings, but you got to walk with Christ to the fountain for the blessings to be poured out. You got to walk with Him in this dimension of light. It's people, I want to see people healed and set free. And they come to church, you know, 2 out of 4 Sundays ain't bad, in and out as fast as they can. I'm getting real. I'm just trying to be real with my church family because I want us to encounter the blessings and God wants us to encounter the blessings. We come to church a couple times. We spend the rest of our time wrapped up in the cares of the world, in the things of the world, in the television sets, in the ball games, and what's happening with this and that. And then we're wondering, why aren't I ever around when miracles are happening and when people are getting delivered and freedom is taking place? I never see that. What's wrong with God? Well, it must not be for today. But it's those that are deciding to get up and walk with Christ and say, okay, God, I am your ambassador. I am with you. Where are you going? Lead me, guide me, Holy Spirit. And you understand that every connection, every meeting that you have is a God-ordained opportunity to bring the love of Christ, and that you're there on a mission every moment of every day. And when we live out of that mentality, we start getting to see the things of Jesus because we're truly walking with Him. We're having our eyes open to Him and our hearts set on Him. But we're walking with Him. We're not getting up thinking about the cares of the world or our own cares. We're thinking about Christ. He's leading. Holy Spirit, lead and guide me today. I'm yours. And when we walk with Him, we get to see the God stuff when we walk with Him. It says in verse 6 again, if we claim to have fellowship with Him, with Jesus, and yet walk in the darkness, meaning just walk like the world walks, do the things of the world. If we do that, we lie and do not live out. We don't live out the truth. We don't live out who we are. We don't live out the kingdom. And so mankind will often make up excuses, and believers will even create false doctrines, false truths in order to justify wanting it both ways. The blessings of Jesus without the walk with Jesus. The blessings of the light without continuing to walk in the light, but instead walking in the darkness. This is what happened in the early church already in 90 AD when John wrote this letter. It was already going on in the New Testament church. And there was a false teaching that was drawing people into this kind of entitlement lifestyle called Gnosticism. One of the primary teachings of Gnosticism, this early heretical movement, was that the spirit of mankind was good. That's good. But the flesh, no. The flesh is evil. And when they took this distortion to the extreme, they began teaching that whatever the flesh was engaged in, whatever people were engaged in with their bodies and with their actions, it didn't matter because only the condition of their spirit truly mattered to God. So they were really wrongly teaching that the Lord is only concerned with the spirit of the man, not the soul or the flesh, the body, actions of a man, just what is in the spirit. And so the Apostle John confronts this error, and he reminds the church, again back to verse 6, if we claim to have fellowship with Jesus and yet walk in darkness, willfully engaging in sin, that's what that means, yet walk in darkness. That means you're getting up saying, I'm walking that way. I'm choosing this path, the path of the world, the path of darkness, of sin, if we willfully engage in sin, that we lie and do not live out the truth. Furthermore, let's talk about this. It's important that we underscore this context of Gnosticism, because that is the false teaching that is responded to in so much of this letter. It's written into this environment. We got to get this and understand it so that the rest of this letter makes sense and we can apply it properly to our lives today. And so the Gnostics, emboldened by this false teaching about the flesh, they were actually then claiming to be without sin. They were saying, look, we have no sin in us. We don't sin anymore, because they believed that the actions they took with their bodies in the flesh, that those weren't a factor in their relationship with God. They believed, look, our actions don't matter. Again, they wrongly determined that their relationship with God was only reserved to some kind of ethereal spirit level existence, some kind of theological doctrine belief existence, that I'm a Christian, and so that's what God is concerned with. I've got this spirit level belief and reality, and anything else that happens in my life is totally disconnected from that and doesn't matter. Therefore, all of these things I do with my flesh doesn't matter, because God isn't concerned with what I do with my actions and in my body and with my flesh. Therefore, I'm without sin. But God relates to the whole person, doesn't he? He cares about the whole person. In fact, how did he create us? Spirit, soul, and body. And he said, and that's good. He created us in his image. And he said, it's good. It's good. And he cares about the entirety of mankind, of our existence. In fact, on that day when he returns, is it only our spirit that is resurrected? No. Our spirit in Christ has already been resurrected. Our soul, our heart is coming along with that, being drawn to him and pursuing him. But there's a day coming when he returns when our bodies, our physical bodies, will be physically resurrected, because he cares about the entirety of mankind. He created us spirit, soul, and body, and is concerned with the wholeness of us, the entirety of us. This distortion was obviously leading a lot of people astray, and so it prompted John to declare the following. Let's go to verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, because people were claiming to be without sin, because our actions don't matter, we have this ethereal spirit existence with God that we've declared is holy and good, and anything else in our lives doesn't matter, and so we are without sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. He'll forgive us. We confess, if we bring them to God, he'll forgive our sins and purify us. Not only forgive us, but totally transform us and purify us, make us white as snow. Our sin is as far as the east is from the west. He'll purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. So, interpreting and studying these verses in the context of the author, the audience, and these circumstances sheds light onto the passages and why John would be making these statements to Christians. Why is it important? Because some, I believe even today, use these verses to argue that Christians are always going to be plagued with ongoing sin. It's a natural aspect of a Christian's life. And our sin, what we do in the flesh, ultimately doesn't really matter. So we don't need to really be that concerned with it, because we have a spirit-level relationship with God. And this flesh stuff, whatever, God's going to just turn a blind eye and it's not that big of a deal. And John is saying, no, the entirety of you is a big deal. And God loves you. And he wants to redeem you fully and wholly, completely. Not just a spirit-level redemption, but a complete redemption of who you are, spirit, soul, and body. John actually states something in his letter here in chapter 3, verse 6, that helps us understand how intense he is about this topic. He says, no one who lives in him, again, in Christ, keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin. Now, if you notice that word continues to sin, that means ongoing, willfully engaging, choosing sin. If no one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. And again, let's remember, this assurance of holiness, this call to holiness, is not something to be afraid of. It's not something to push back from. It's not a punishment. It's the good news of the redemption of Christ, of the power of God to truly change us and to bring us into communion with Him and into walking with Him in the light for real. Too many people sell God short. And they create a theology and a doctrine that God is only big enough to rescue my spirit and to save me for eternity, but He can't really. The things of the world are always going to be the way they are. That's a small view of God. A very small view of God. He's big enough to fully transform you right here and right now. And you can see His work being made complete, going from glory to glory. That onion being peeled back. Those things of the past, those sins, those things the enemy has thrown on you and put on you, coming off for His glory as you enjoy walking in the light. Amen? This is intense stuff, isn't it? It's good. It's good news of God. You know, God's pretty intense. He is so intense that He stepped down from heaven and went to the cross for you. He's so intense that He kicked Satan's rear end and conquered death and sin and rose again. And that He's coming back. That's how intense He is, that He is coming back to completely destroy all sin and make all things new. God's pretty intense. And it's all driven by love. Because He loves people. He loves you. He loves me. So, because of this call to holiness and this walking in the light, because God is being so good and saying, I'm not reserving this dimension of light and holiness for myself, I'm calling you to it. He gave us something. He gave us His grace. And the grace of God, I want you to understand something about the grace of God. People equate the grace of God with the forgiveness of God. That's a part of God's grace, an important part of God's grace. But the grace of God is the power of God. And part of the power of God is His power to forgive us. But let's remember, God gave us His grace. He gave us His power. He has given us the same power that raised Him from the dead. He has given to His church, to us who walk with Him in the light. He's given us His power that crushes sin, that has us walking away from sin, that has us walking with Him in the new dimension of light. And I want you to check out how powerful this grace is and how this grace, when received and walked in, will have us walking in the light for real today. This is in Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. This is the power of God at work in the people of God. It says, for the grace of God, again, that's the power of God, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. The very power of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. And I want to say something. When we see that word salvation, we typically think of get out of hell, go to heaven forever. Salvation is bigger than that. That's part of it. That's an amazing gift from God. Eternal salvation, eternal life, eternal communion with Him, walking with Him forever. But salvation is here and now. Salvation is deliverance right now. It's ours in Christ when we walk into new life, when we become born again in Him. Salvation has come. His grace has been poured out on us. The very power of God is with us. And this grace of God, this power of God, it's appeared to all men to bring salvation. And it teaches us. The grace of God, the power of God teaches us. Another way to look at it is it empowers us, equips us and empowers us. It equips us to say no, no, to say no to ungodliness and to worldly passions. That's the darkness that we're not going to walk in anymore right now. God's grace, the power of God comes upon us. It justifies us. It brings us salvation and it equips us to be able to say no to the darkness that the enemy wants to continue to have us walking in. And it gives us the power to live self-controlled, it says, and upright and godly lives when? Now. In this present age. Not just in the sweet by and by, but in this present age, right now. We can walk in the light. We can begin walking in the light right now. From glory to glory. Now, verse 13. So we can live godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, that's back to the assurance of his return. He's coming back. Read your Bibles. It's everywhere. Get excited about it. It's everywhere. While we look for the glorious return of Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, and again, to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good, meaning eager to walk in the new dimension of light, of holiness with Christ Jesus right here, right now, in this present age. And I wrote in my notes after that, wow, wow, wow. This is the goodness of God. This is what he has for us, his people. God loves us so much, he's given us his grace that we could be purified and truly walk right now in new life. Right now. No longer slaves to sin. We can choose the ways of God. It's ours. Because of the love of God and the goodness of God, it's ours right now. We have this assurance. Let me go into point number three. The assurance of holiness has us walking in new dimensions. It has us walking in a new purity, but also it has us walking in a new fellowship. And we talked about fellowship last week, so I'm going to make this brief. Verses 6 and 7. If we claim to have fellowship with Jesus and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Walking in a new fellowship with God and with one another, that's part of the assurance of holiness. That's one of the fruits of walking in the light as Christ Jesus is in the light. You see, the gospel of Christ is not theoretical. It's not just a bunch of doctrines that we hold to. The gospel of Jesus is alive. It's him moving in our lives and delivering us and giving us salvation and new life right here and right now. It's not far off. It is the here and it is the now. The good news, the gospel of Christ Jesus. And the assurance of holiness is good news. The work of Christ on the cross and the victory over death and sin has been accomplished. And God wants us to walk in that accomplishment, that victory today. We sang about this earlier and we're going to sing about it again right now. That when Jesus, the light, walks into a room, everything changes. Everything changes. And it's the same way with our lives. When Jesus, the light, walks into a life, when he walked into your life, when he's walked into my life, everything changes. Everything. Right now, we're going to celebrate this truth together as we take communion, as we have fellowship, communion, koinonia with God, because of what Christ did on the cross, because his body was broken, because his blood was shed, because of the new covenant now we have in Christ. We have fellowship, communion, koinonia with God, and we're going to celebrate that together and remember that together this morning. And as the elements are being passed out, I want you to hold those elements. We'll take them all together. Meanwhile, we're going to continue just to quietly meditate on the words of this song, this reality that when Jesus the light walks into our lives, that everything changes. Let's do that.
When you walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. When you walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship.